Do you know, I was listening to some shoot interviews from Demolition.
Yeah.
And Bill Eadie doesn't look any older than he did then. Or let's put it this way. It's not that he looks old now. It's that he looked old then.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that has looked the same age for our entire lives.
Yeah, and but always old.
Yeah, like him and Arn Anderson.
Yeah, or Hogan. Hogan's never looked young. He's looked young compared to today, but he's never looked like a young person.
Do you think that's because he's balding so fast?
Even his face, though, his face has the, like, it looks like it's seen, I don't know, it just, or The Undertaker.
The Undertaker looked young.
Look, I only see that now, looking back.
Sure.
But at the time, even when he was the American Badass, I was like, oh, you look so old.
Right. But, like, even, like, Arn Anderson now, we look back and he still looks old. Like, we thought he was old then, and when we look back, he's like 28 when he's in WWF in 1988 or whatever.
He was 28 there? I was just watching that match.
It was something. It's something absurd. Maybe 29, but like.
I was just watching the Survivor Series 88 match.
How did it hold up?
It was only the first half. Really good. I enjoy it.
He was 30. He was 30 in 88.
That's ridiculous.
But still. Like,
yeah.
And Flair was like...
So he's 30? Wait, hang on. Wait a minute. For the NWO invasion, he's 36?
Yeah, I guess.
He comes off like he's like the grizzled old veteran who's seen it all.
Look, he's retired by 98, right?
Yeah.
And he's 40 in 98.
He's 40 in 98?
He's our age in 1998.
Okay. And it was like, yeah, someone take him out by a... Like a wheelchair back then.
Yeah, 40-year-old man.
Yeah, when Luger racked him in 96. So he was only 38 there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why does he look so old? What happened to him?
I don't know. Beyond his years.
Because I'm watching that stuff now, it's crazy that he's so much younger than everybody else who's in the Four Horsemen with him, except Wyndham.
Really? He seems like the older, mature guy. Well, no. I guess he's mature, but he's just...
Like, Flair's like 10 years older than him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, you would never imagine that.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
He's 9 years older than him.
Yeah, no, because looking at them, that doesn't make any sense. Like, Arn should be 2 years older.
Yeah.
That's not. There's something weird about that.
Ole Anderson's like 16 years older than him.
than Flair?
No, than Arn Anderson.
Oh, gosh.
And hold on, Tully's older than him, too. I looked it up recently. I just want to tell you how much older. Because, again, that's not someone you'd imagine is older. He was only a bit older. He was 4 years older than him.
Than Anderson?
Yeah. But again, you would never imagine that Tully Blanchard was older than him.
No. He shouldn't be older than him at all.
No one should be.
No. Especially the way he was behaving in the Survivor Series match.
Oh, when he's strutting around?
Yeah, strutting around and constantly bowing out and tagging out.
Have you ever seen the taped fist matches with Ronnie Garvin with Arn Anderson? Not Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard.
No.
Great American Bash.
Maybe one. There was like it was a very violent, quick match or something, right?
They're not that quick. The Great American Bash, I want to say 87. If you go on the network, there's two of them, and they do the same match at both shows. It's fucking awesome.
Okay.
Like, his selling is so ridiculous, but in a good way.
Is that the one where – I just remember someone scratching out the face of the other guy with some sort of pick.
No, that's That's the I Quit match with Magnum TA.
Right, okay.
Yeah, which is also great. Also incredible. It's just a pure hatred blood feud.
Okay.
And the best part about it is, I this is such a small detail, but the best part about it is when, so Tully quits, because he's got basically the leg of a chair with a nail in it being driven into his head, right? So then he quits, and Magnum wins the title, and Magnum goes to leave the cage, and Magnum's, like, at the door in the cage, and Tully's like, come back and fight, you know, kind of thing. And Magnum just kind of looks at him like he's, like, a piece of garbage and just puts the belt over his shoulder and leaves. And it's such a bad...
Oh, really?
It's just such a badass, like... It couldn't have looked more badass. But you know, I thought that was violent, but now we're going to have a match on pay-per-view soon where someone's going to rip somebody's eye out.
But not. We know that they're never going to do that.
Well, obviously, but what... what kind
I've heard they're going to do some sort of CGI bullcrap.
Why?
Because it's a stipulation you can't fulfill.
Yeah, but why... Okay, hold on. Back it up. Back it up. You're too far ahead. Like, why have the stipulation at all?
Oh, I thought, okay. I didn't realize that that's the why. Yeah, well, you know, exactly. Because somehow they've hired back Vince Russo. That's how.
Yeah, like, I totally understand, like, in the context of why they would do it with CGI. That I got. Like,
okay.
I'd rather not have Rey Mysterio's eye ripped out of his head or Seth Rollins.
They can't just wrestle. Aren't they good wrestlers? They can't wrestle?
They're not, though. That's, well, Rey is.
Yeah.
Rey's a great wrestler. Seth Rollins, I mean.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Do you remember, were you ever excited about Seth Rollins? I remember being excited about Seth Rollins.
In the Shield?
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, he's the one who does all the cool moves, and like.
Yeah, that was, remember, he was that guy. Yeah.
And then he went off singles, and then they turned him heel right away, and he became that annoying, like, John! John! You hear me, John?
Yeah.
And then
he can't act at all.
He's terrible. I was thinking about this today because I was recording one of the year that was is on 2004, and I was talking about Benoit. And it's like, the guy can't put together, like, two sentences. Like, how are these people succeeding in a company where so much of your position is based on talking?
Who are you talking about, Seth Rollins?
I was talking about Benoit, but also Rollins. Like,
yeah.
He's really not good.
Well, Benoit, I mean, other than WrestleMania 20 and the Royal Rumble, he really just puts over the new guys and the top guys, like,
yeah.
The Evolution, basically. That's really what he does. Like, that builds his credibility, and then he just spends the next year putting them over, basically.
Yeah. And he retires quietly. Obviously.
I had water in my mouth. I had water in my mouth and I almost spat out.
Oh, good.
I spat that right into the microphone.
Did I tell you about the argument I had with someone about him recently?
Benoit?
Yeah. You keep drinking. So someone put up in a group like, Chris Benoit passed away on this day.
Passed away?
They used passed away. And I wrote basically like, I don't know if that's the right wording. Kind of joking, right? I don't really care. And it created this entire like... fucking like how I'm close-minded because I only view him through the lens of the murder and like what the fuck is happening here.
Wait, you're close-minded because you only view him. Oh, okay, all right. He's also a victim kind of thing, is that?
Yeah, well, because one person was like, we can't even prove that he did it. There's no proof. Someone wrote that, which was fun.
But there's no proof or there's no evidence, because there's a lot of evidence there. There's three dead bodies. That's a lot of evidence.
There's no way that person was arguing the nuance of proof versus evidence.
Okay, good, okay.
Because they were also chastising me for being close-minded when I was just like, look, like it or not, his legacy is he killed a bunch of people. That's his legacy.
Right,
like,
yeah.
And like, we never use passed away for anyone infamous. I've never heard anybody.
He passed away, yes,
Adolf Hitler passed away. You would never hear that sentence.
In his home, next to his loved one. Like that.
Yeah, and it's like, it became, well, what they got really defensive. Like, well, what would you say he did then? I'm like, well, the argument became, we're not technically wrong he passed away, but that was not the argument I was making. The argument I was making is I've never once seen someone infamous described in this way, ever.
Yeah.
Lee Harvey Oswald passed away in the police station. Like, you wouldn't write that.
JFK passed away
in the street
in the middle of the street of Dallas.
Franz Ferdinand passed away in Serbia.
It was his time.
It was just his time.
Yeah, exactly. It's his time.
But then the close-minded thing drove me insane because I was like, I'm not trying to be close-minded. Like it's just like, that's just what his legacy is. You can think whatever you want, but like – his legacy, objectively, is that he's the guy who killed people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Do they want to pretend he didn't? Is that
I don't know, but they were like, well, he was a man and he had problems. And how would you feel if you were his family that's still around? And I'm like,
you'd be dead. That's how you'd feel. You'd be dead. You'd be dead. There's no one to take offense because you're dead if you're his family. Well, you're dead.
Yeah, it's like
no one knows his mental problems better than his family, and his family is dead. So what's the argument?
Well, they brought up his son David, or I think it's David. David or
David? David? Yeah, okay.
And they're like, well, he still thinks Chris Benoit is his hero. And it's like, well, that's great that he thinks that, but like,
but he has to up his standards a little bit, is what I'm saying. If that's your hero, just up your standards just a bit. Not saying it's a bad thing, just saying there's a heck of a lot of other role models out there.
Yeah. Like, well, also, too, like, it's like, okay, so this is a kid who was 8 years old when his father went crazy and killed his younger brother and his wife and then himself. Like, should we really be, like, do you think he has a good idea of what a good role model is? Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel bad for the guy. Like, he must be so, like, that kid must be so damaged because of this moment, right?
Yeah.
And it's like,
you know, and maybe he's like, but man, could he put a match together?
Yeah. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe I was in this discussion, and it was long. Like, it was like a 100-comment discussion, and I just couldn't pull myself out of it because I'm a fucking psychopath, apparently. Yeah.
Is this the snowflakes? Like, are these sound like snowflake-type arguments?
I don't know. They're the same crew that, like, detests anything AEW does and, like...
Oh. So they're so pro-WWE that even if you're a murderer...
And you'd think that, like, the guy who nearly destroyed WWE, like, we kind of forget how bad it was for them as a press story. Like, they could have been destroyed by this. You'd think that these guys would be like, yeah, this guy probably went too far. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And it all stemmed from me just saying, like, I don't think this is the right phrasing.
Like, yeah.
And guess what? It's not.
You want to see, you want to see sensitive. Here comes sensitive.
Yeah, it was such an absurd conversation.
Yeah.
Of many absurd conversations.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, fucking Chris Benoit. But Seth Rollins is not a good actor.
I'm just completely bored by him, that's all.
Like, I remember thinking, like, oh, it's going to be really cool when he starts doing single stuff because he's really good. And then he's one of those guys who, like, has been given so many opportunities to have great matches and has so few. Like, what was his last great match?
I don't watch that much these days. And honestly, like, because of people like him, he's not, I mean, he had a very good match with Brock Lesnar, but you'd have to be pretty much a physical retard to not have a good match with Brock Lesnar. You can cut that part of the, out that audio and give it to those guys. I said physical retard.
I'm not going to cut it.
No, cut it and play it for them.
Oh, right. Okay.
If they took offense to Ben the murderer, then, all right. They'll definitely piss in their own pants for that. That's, I don't know. I mean, there was the Lesnar thing, but I don't know. He's one of those guys where it's like it depends on who he's in the ring with, but I mean, he's never going to bring a match up.
No, and he has so many athletic tools, which is why, like, it's like he doesn't know how to use his tools to, like, bring out the best in a match. Because clearly he's got tons of athleticism. Clearly he can do cool things, but the psychology is just completely off. Like,
I just feel like watching him, it's like, these are just moves.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm watching him, I'm like, these are just moves.
Yeah, nothing looks like it hurts. Like, he does that sling blade, but it looks like he's just kind of like, he's just, like, wading through the motions.
Yeah, very, like, timed out. It's very, like, and now, and now, and now.
That's how I feel Reigns is when he's not, like, there's times where he isn't like that, where he's just kind of keyed in and everything looks really good, like his matches with AJ or, I mean, some of his better matches, with his match with Cena. But then, like, but Reigns will pull out great matches, whereas Rollins, it's every match feels this way.
It must be that these guys are marks, you know, so, like, Reigns will, like, step it up when he's in the ring with AJ.
Maybe.
You know, versus, I don't know, a guy like Rollins. I don't know. I don't know what his deal is. I really don't. I just don't like him. I don't like him in the ring. I don't like what he says outside the ring. I don't like his tone. I don't like the stupid comments that he,
he says, you know, that he doesn't realize that he's saying. I don't like him.
Imagine being in the position he's in, right? So since 2014, maybe the most heavily pushed guy, like in terms of who gets the most TV time. And like, I think Reigns is maybe more pushed in terms of like he's in more
positioning.
But I think Rollins has probably gotten more TV time than anybody. So in the number one company in the world, and he still feels the need to like lash out at fans who don't, who might boo him. Like,
yeah.
How insecure do you have to be to do that?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I really don't know, because he's a cookie cutter product of their machine. I was listening to a shoot interview, and I don't remember who it was. Oh, it was Duggan was talking about when he had met. They sent him off. Vince Senior sent him off to Hawaii to work with the Maivia family. Because he worked as a jobber in New York, and Vince said, "You're good. You got to go get seasoning now." And so he went off and got seasoned for, I don't know, what, 7 years before coming back to WWF, right? But like that's how you did it, right? And then he came back and he was immediately over. He had a really good 6-year run, right? And so it's like, I never feel like Rollins has gotten there yet. I don't feel like Reigns has gotten there yet. I feel like Orton has gotten there now, but he can't. How long was he in this cookie cutter sort of role for a while? He almost broke out of it in 2009, but then they just pushed him back down. But do you know what I'm saying? Where it's like it takes almost 10 years to get to that point where you hit your own, but to
understand all the nuances and like that go beyond just like flipping around and doing moves.
Yeah. Like, and I think that in the Undertaker documentaries, he talks about, I think he got that. He goes, if you watch his early Undertakers, he's really flying around the ring.
Yeah.
And he had to learn to slow that down. And that's what gave longevity to that character. But it's not necessarily slowing things down, but it's a matter of that nuance that you got to learn.
It's actually being a character in the match.
Yeah.
It's you're not just you're physically telling a story and physically in character in the match. So I don't get that at all. Like, so Seth Rollins is like the Messiah now, right? Like, that's his gimmick, right? That he's the Monday Night Messiah. But there's nothing Messiah-like about anything he does in the ring.
No.
Like,
no.
Maybe a pose here and there. But even then, I don't even think he does that. His moveset hasn't changed. Like, nothing ever changes, right? He's heel, he's face.
And it's funny, because for years, we would say for years, who is this guy? What's his character? And then he takes on this cookie-cutter character that he isn't.
Yeah.
It's just this imposed thing of, oh, well, now I've got a character, but it has nothing, there's no like link to like who he was, except for when he went off on Twitter last fall.
Yeah, like overly sanctimonious.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas he should just be like douche skater guy, which is who I think he probably is.
Yeah. He could be, a male Karen.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah. Did you go on silent when you were laughing because you were
no,
you
I was,
were drinking
I,
at
I
the
was
same time?
Mid-coughing and I didn't want to cough.
Okay.
And then I started laughing.
Because I think he could work as a male Karen. That would get him over big time as a heel.
Yeah. Well, he's over as a heel now. People hate him. But that's actually what I'm looking forward to seeing like when the crowds come back. Like, who is the crowd turned on in this time? Because nobody gets a consistently like prolonged reaction anymore.
No.
Like, you last as a face for 6 months and then, well, that's probably more to do with who they're pushing. Like, I mean, I'm sure they could have kept AJ Styles face forever, right? Or Daniel Bryan face forever.
And they don't write. They don't write for anybody.
No.
That's why they have so many titles.
Yeah. And none of them mean anything. I was reading Tommaso Ciampa put out a tweet today where he's basically like, I don't know, I was told the creative had nothing for me in NXT. And then a comment was like, well, you hit the plateau and there's nothing left for you to do. That was a comment from someone, but it's like, but then you're not understanding that everyone could be written for on the show. Like, you're not just, you just don't move up to the title, win the title, and then you're done, right? Like, a competent writer will kind of weave you back into the story in different ways. Maybe he won't be – I'm sure Ciampa's not arguing that, like, he needs to be on top of the promotion because, like, he's like, I'm healthy. I'm not being used. I think that's more his problem is that, like, they just don't want to write for me, right? Like, that's a funny thing. I remember when the Revival left or when they were about to leave, they were complaining – people were like, oh, they're just complaining because they want to be champions all the time. And it's like, no. They're complaining they just want to be used and, like – and be used in like an not even prominent, but just in something that means something.
In 98-99, when they had a far less talented crew, everybody had something to do.
They were writing storylines for D'Lo Brown and Val Venus.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Who are like
for Midian. Midian had something he was doing.
And I would wager, and this is not a slight to any of the guys that we just talked about, Venus, Brown, or Midian, none of them would be on the roster now.
No.
The roster now is just so – it's the most athletic roster they've ever had.
That's right.
And I think one of the problems, and I'm noticing this, is I'm curious if the guys they have now, that the young – well, the youngish guys like the Rollins and the – I wonder if part of the problem is that they only grew up on WWF. Whereas the guys that really like excelled back in the day and whatever, they grew up on like a variety of different wrestling organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So you only get the WWF, like it's just about characters, it's about promos, it's about production, and you've lost the aspect of in-ring of the story, like, of the storytelling.
Well, I was watching some Andre the Giant stuff today. A lot of shoot comments on Andre the Giant, a lot of videos of Andre the Giant. And when he would go to Japan, he would work the Japanese style.
Yeah, Hogan too.
And it was funny because like everyone would say what a good worker Andre was in the sense that he knew if he liked you, he knew how to make you look great. Because he knew what the fans wanted almost in real time.
Yeah.
He could feel that. And so that comes with that seasoning of working all the territory. He was just a road warrior his whole life. That's all he did. And so that kind of stuff, even though he wasn't able to do much towards the end, he was still able to feel that crowd out. And he was, you know, the number two man in charge, basically, in the company.
Does that – go on.
You know, well, I'm just saying, so to back up what you're saying, yeah. It's like – these guys, they have this one style that they basically grew up on. And yeah, maybe they went through ROH or they went through whatever else. But you can see there's no nuance. Like when Kurt Angle came in, there's a nuance there because he had a different learning style. Or Brock Lesnar, he has a nuance to what he does because of the outside stuff that he does. But these guys, no.
I would even say that when AJ's the last guy to come in and have nuance. But it's gone now.
Yeah.
Like yeah, they exactly. Imagine they've made him boring almost.
Yeah.
Which is absurd because he's so good.
Yeah.
But like that gear he used to have, like I don't know when we started getting into New Japan around 2015 and we watched the Ring of Honor, like whenever he – like you could see him kind of change gears in the match. You could see him up his urgency, like, oh, I'm about to lose. Okay, I'm going to hit this move and this. And like he'd vary his like physical speed in the match. That's gone.
Right.
Any of that detail is just gone. Now he's just like he goes through his.
And there's that suplex that he would throw people in the back of their head with that suplex.
Yeah.
It was like looked like he killed. Yeah.
Like and look, maybe he's getting for sure he's getting older. You know, like I get it, but like it's strange that like that. It's almost like that nuance doesn't have to exist in WWF, so they lose it. It's honestly the same thing with Nakamura, but Nakamura they just didn't do anything with, like
no,
for as long as he's been there. So there's no.
I'm surprised he's still in the company at this point.
I feel like it's just a really well. Think about it. Like it must just be such an easy job for him.
Yeah.
Instead of getting murdered in New Japan every night, like.
Yeah, he's just making more money doing less.
Yeah. He gets to surf. Yeah. Like I'm sure he's very happy.
Does he surf?
Yeah, he's like a big surfer.
Okay.
Yeah. Part of me is like I would love to see him go back to New Japan and then maybe I'd get back into it and you know like and he could have these classic matches again, but maybe that's not even possible anymore. You know, these guys have a show.
He looks like he smokes cigarettes. Doesn't he look like he's a cigarette smoker?
Maybe. Maybe.
Doesn't he look like you can see him smoking a cigarette? Not the way he acts or anything, just the way he looks. Like, I can see him smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, I could also see him, like, smoking crack or, like, he's got that strain.
Did you see him smoking? Well, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. You want to smoke crack, you smoke crack. But, like, it's been quite devastating, like, getting excited about all my favorite guys coming and then seeing them, like, not be used anywhere near their potential. And one of them, being Styles, was champion for, like, 2 years.
Yeah, is he, like, a three-time champion or a four-time champion?
I want to say he's a two-time champion. I think he's a two-time champion.
Two-time? Okay.
He's two-time champion. He's won the U.S. title a couple times. He's the Intercontinental champion. Like, they've done a lot with him, but they've made him less interesting.
Yeah.
Like, he's still usually the best part of the show. Don't get me wrong. But
it's not like saying much.
We're comparing it to something greater.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember anything interesting other than that series he had with Cena.
Reigns. The Reigns series was good.
Were the matches good or were they interesting? Like, was the feud interesting? Like, I remember the feud being kind of interesting with Cena.
Well, I would – I mean, we're back to this again where I don't think either really feuds. Like, they're both just series of matches. And, like,
the
The series with Cena is just like him saying, I like to beat up John Cena. Like, that's the peak of WWE writing now.
Yeah.
I got to beat up John Cena. Great. It's like, it's just lowest common denominator. We're going to beat up John Cena. I'm going to pull your eye out. Like, it's so stupid.
Hell in the Cell.
It's the stupidest – the horror show. It's called the horror show. The show's called the horror show. Yeah. So I ended up watching the Orton-Edge greatest wrestling match of all time.
Yeah.
We talked about that a while back. It's good. It's really good. But, like,
yeah,
it did not need to be 45 minutes.
No. Especially, like, there was one part, and I guess we would discuss this, where they do all those other people's, like, finishing moves.
Yeah.
But they cram it into one segment of the match. Which I found cheesy. Like, if they were doing it throughout the match, that'd be kind of cool.
Or if we could see, like, what they're doing isn't working, so they have to, like, they have to branch out and use an angle slam.
Right.
Like, it should come organically from the match, as opposed to, here's a section that we put in, where we're using other people's finishers.
He's looking up to the sky. There's only one person up there, Eddie Guerrero. Here comes some three suplexes. Yeah, it was. And it was all these. It was funny because I think they were all in the Ruthless Aggression era.
Right. Well, they did all those, Angle.
If I'm not mistaken.
They did Angle. They did Benoit. They did Triple H.
Yeah.
Christian. And that looked it looked terrible when he did it to Orton, too.
Yes.
But that move doesn't look good anyway. Like, it doesn't look like you're actually holding the guy there. Like, it's way too much cooperation, that move.
Yep.
Because by the time you turn around and the guy's behind you, either the guy's already unconscious and you can pin him, or he can easily slip out.
Yeah.
Like, nothing – I looked at the arms. As he was doing it, I was like, what is this move? Like, why did I believe this when Christian did it? Maybe Christian was just better.
I never believed him when he
got him. I thought it was stupid too, but – yeah. But I believed it more than when Christian started spearing guys.
Yeah.
When, like, Edge handed the spear down to him.
It's a total, like, miracle that Christian went as far as he did.
Christian? Yeah. He's world champion.
Yeah.
People are really into, like, Christian.
That is totally just they're remembering or longing for the old days, because that's... It's a miracle he got there, just because, you know, again, it was a product of the time that he came up. They didn't have that much talent, and they had to push everybody.
Yeah. But you know what? He also went away. Remember? He went away. We forget that he went away for a long time, and he went to TNA, and he became the TNA World Champion.
Right.
And then he came back, and then they pushed him.
That's true. But he was getting raw TV main events in six-man tags or in tags with Edge.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's as high as he was going to go.
Yeah, he was part of a popular, a very good tag team.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the lesser of that trio of tag teams. But they were the ones that were pushed the heaviest.
Right. Well, size and look.
Right. I mean, the Hardys, to me, are like probably the best tag team they've ever had. And Dudleys are pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a miracle that he got as far as he did. Like, I would have never pegged him as a world champion. And especially when he was world champion, because they had other options.
Yeah, they did. They had many other options. But, I mean, they're still doing the brand split, which I never liked.
Right. Well, I mean, they put him over Del Rio at the time, who was like one of their – they were clearly building that guy up, right?
Yeah, that would have been a mistake.
Putting the title on him?
Well, he just ends up beating up people backstage or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they put the bigger title on him later in the year, so.
Ugh, yeah, I couldn't stand that. Yeah.
Yeah, because they had the perfect storyline with Punk and Cena and Triple H. Well, not Triple H, but – and then you put a Del Rio title reign in there just because he won the Money in the Bank.
Right.
Stupid.
Well, they messed themselves up with a lot of booking decisions. But there's a couple of matches that I feel they could have done. There's a segue for you.
Oh, yeah?
There's a lot of matches I feel that – yeah, you see that? You see what I did?
Yeah.
There's a lot of dream matches they could have done.
They just didn't,
but there's one, and it leads into our topic, because one of them, had they done it, I feel would have solved a lot of problems.
Real? Is this okay? So is this one for your list that you absolutely didn't prepare beforehand?
I actually have a list that I just came up with, like off the top of my head as we were talking, of all these dream matches they could have had.
So it's funny.
Didn't do.
As soon as you said dream matches, I made myself a list too.
What?
Instantly.
What?
I guess I've been sitting on it for a while.
Okay.
Like almost like maybe like we talked about it years ago and then it got erased.
So 7 years ago we had a podcast called From Montreal to Memphis, but it never actually made the air because we accidentally erased it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
We did that. We did. And one of the episodes was the top dream matches WWE could have done but never did.
Chose
and
not
we qualified
to.
That with, yeah, because they you know, it, this is not like, oh, they should have done, I don't know, John Cena against Bruno Sammartino. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like actual ones where like the two people were in the company at the same time and they were both at that level. Like, and we'll just use one as the ultimate example, which never happened, which could have, which is Hulk Hogan against Steve Austin.
Yeah.
That never came together, but they had opportunity in 02 and then maybe in 03. So so that's the qualifier, and we have a list of matches, which actually got a little bit smaller since the last time we did it, because they actually slid together a couple of those.
Yep.
well after the point that they were ripe and ready. But yeah, so we have these lists, and we've blindly prepared them. I've prepared my list. Aaron has prepared his list, and we're gonna compare them.
Yeah, and we're going to contrast them.
And contrast them? Okay. All right, fine.
Yeah. Because you can't compare without contrasting.
Yes. And so I guess I'll just start one. I'll just start it.
Okay.
As one that we could have had, and I'll see here. And because it isn't – like, had they done this, in my mind, it would have solved so many problems.
Mm-hmm.
We could have had Brock Lesnar against Batista in 2014. And that would have been a dream match. And I think they could have done that at WrestleMania 30. Now, I know you love the Undertaker moment losing, but if you do Brock Lesnar against Dave Batista
mm-hmm.
At WrestleMania 30, you still have the Undertaker, and then you do the Undertaker John Cena that year, and then you do your Shield against the Wyatts. You can still have Daniel Bryan do the Triple H match, and then Daniel Bryan go on to wrestle Randy Orton. It's still a great show. And then the next year, Undertaker is still undefeated when he wrestles Wyatt. So you don't know – it's not going to be a throwaway match anymore.
Right.
And then 32, you do whatever you do with the Undertaker. And then 33, he goes in undefeated to Reigns.
And then Reigns.
So I just feel like – yeah, exactly. You could – and it just – it sells more. It's just a more important match at that point. But anyway, that is one dream match that we could have had. They came up together in OVW. They couldn't have done it in 04, because Batista wasn't really anybody in 04. And
right.
05, you know, Lesnar was gone. So, but when Batista was made, So there you go. So in 2014, that's your first dream match. I'm going to work my way backwards. I don't know how you're going to go about it, but I'm going to work my way backwards.
Like in time?
In terms of recent. Yeah, exactly.
Well, look, I'm going to throw out one now that, like, fits into your timeline. Because I wasn't going to originally include it, so maybe we'll see kind of where the conversation goes. But it's like, if you do that, then you should obviously do what they should have done at WrestleMania 31 and not have Undertaker fight Bray Wyatt. You know where I'm going?
Oh, yeah, of course. There you go. Yes, good. And yeah,
I love this. You get the Undertaker against Sting.
Yeah, like, and
I
exactly.
mean, this is not necessarily a match that like I long to see or needed to know the result of, and I don't even think both guys could go at this point. But like, it wouldn't have been worse than either the matches those two guys were in. It wouldn't have been worse than Undertaker and Wyatt. It probably would have been similar to Sting and Triple H, except we would have felt better about it, not fucking dirty like we hate ourselves watching wrestling. Like I when I rewatched the 2015 Mania, I didn't mind the Triple H Sting match. I thought what they did with it was fine, like with the NWO and DX and whatever. It was didn't make any sense, but it was fun. But the ending was just absurd. And I don't think anybody has a problem with Sting coming in and losing to The Undertaker.
Like, nobody does. No.
Nobody does.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah. So.
No.
Yeah, and so I only tag it in here because I think it could just fit right into your narrative. Like, you never have to have Wyatt fight Undertaker.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could do that at 32, which means you keep Wyatt strong the entire 2 years instead of killing him.
I think – was Wyatt hurt? Wyatt didn't fight at 32, did he?
He did not. No, he didn't because he was hurt. That was the year everybody was hurt.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the year that it was rumored that like maybe Wyatt was going to fight Lesnar. And in the build up, I think they did either something at house shows or like I remember seeing Lesnar fight the Wyatt family at a house show. We went to it together, I'm sure.
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was the next year. Maybe I'm mixing up the years, but anyway, I think I love the Lesnar Batista idea. I think that's fantastic. And I think we could also slide in the Undertaker Sting, and it would probably make things a lot better than they are now.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And then you could have had Triple H and Stephanie against The Rock and Ronda instead, or whatever else you do with them.
I'm sure that's what they wanted to do, but they probably just couldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. But you could literally put Triple H anywhere else on that 31 card; it would have been all right.
Or not on the show.
Yeah, or not. Yeah.
You know, he could maybe sit one out. No, that'd be all right. Like this year when there was no crowd, he suddenly sit it out.
Suddenly, yeah, exactly. All right, so I'll do you want to go first with your next one, and then I'll go after that?
I didn't organize them by time or anything. Let me just see. Okay, so here's one that will also fit into this time frame, okay, that I feel like this would have been fucking amazing, okay? And you know what? We can put it at WrestleMania 32, okay? What did you have Brock doing at WrestleMania 32 in your scenario?
That year?
Because he fought Ambrose.
He
fought Ambrose in a nothing match, right?
That was a waste, yeah.
Yeah. So instead, I want Brock issuing an open challenge at WrestleMania, and answering the open challenge would be Shinsuke Nakamura in 2016.
Oh, man, that would have been good.
And I think Brock, Nakamura, I don't think you could do it 2 years later, because I think Nakamura is either done or not motivated. Maybe he still can, I don't know. But that's a match I feel would have been just a killer, stiff, awesome match. And I think you could probably – it could go either way. I think you probably – if it's Nakamura's main roster debut, he probably has to go over. But at that point, that would have been fine. And I don't know. I think they probably would have had something really special together, because Nakamura, the night before WrestleMania 32, has that incredible match with Sami Zayn.
Yes.
Which I think is still one of my favorite matches of all time. And maybe I'd sacrifice that to see him face Brock instead.
That's a great call. I love it. Yeah, it's a great moment. It would cause an incredible pop.
Yeah,
and a great match. And they wouldn't have normalized Nakamura by that point.
No.
So you would have seen a lot more of the Japanese style. You would have seen Lesnar take it up a notch that we probably haven't seen since he fought Cena in that first match. So he probably would have been a five star.
Yeah, and Lesnar can work the Japanese match. He had a.
Didn't they work together in Japan?
Yeah, they did, but Nakamura was really young.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Nakamura.
No, yeah, that's a legit WrestleMania moment that you just created there.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be for a belt. You know, it could just be an undercard, an undercard moment. You can still do that bullshit with Triple H and Reigns in the main event, wrestling 30 minutes, which is not a dream match.
Nightmare match. And they already had it too. They already did that match too in the six mans with Evolution a couple years before. Yeah. So it wasn't even anything new.
So they made it less interesting and longer.
Yeah.
And they started it at midnight. And Stephanie McMahon cut a fucking promo before it. Like, what balls to cut a promo at 11:50 at night?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting there with
and Shane is on the card too.
With the fighting the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
This is a horrible show. That was a terrible show.
When we did, we ranked the WrestleManias on No Holds Barred. We had that one last.
Of all of them?
Yeah.
That's the last?
That's what we had last. Because we started factoring in how long it was and how destructive it was and how bad some of the matches were. Because, like, what else would be in the conversation? WrestleMania 9, WrestleMania 2. But, like, those are 3 hours long. This is 6 hours.
And 27, you at least have, you know, Taker and Triple H, which is really good.
You have that. You have Orton and Punk, which is very good also. You got Cole and Lawler.
And it's less than 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just barely.
Yeah.
You got The Rock on the show. I mean, I know it's not ideal, but at least he's there.
Right.
Like, The Rock's on this show, too, but it's funny. It's like he's unwanted on this show, 32. Like, he comes out and lights that torch on fire, and then, like, what's happening?
Yeah, it was weird. That was a long – and I remember it being such a long entrance for nothing.
Well, do you remember I brought my buddy Chris, who doesn't watch wrestling, to that? We went to watch it in a bar where you were there, right?
Yeah.
Was that the night of We're Downstairs with your brother? No, that was the year before, right?
That was the year before. Yeah.
Okay. So so I bring my buddy Chris. I'm like, WrestleMania is their biggest show of the year. AJ Styles just coming to the promotion. I'm like, maybe, you know, it was my introduction to him maybe joining our wrestling watching group. And then we get show. And I just saw at the end, like, as the night was going on, he was just so tired. So
that's the one where AJ loses to Jericho.
Yeah.
It's a no-win situation because you don't want to see either guy lose.
It's fine if Jericho loses now.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, AJ's just come into the promotion. But also, they had just feuded. It was like their third match.
Yeah.
They had a match on Raw, then they fought at the Roadblock or No Way Out or whatever it's called. Fastlane. I think it's called Fastlane that year. And then
– yeah.
So it's like, why are we – like, remember when, like, WrestleMania was, like, full of fresh matches?
Yeah, you had never seen before. Yeah.
Yeah. The League of Nations against the New Day when the New Day wasn't quite, like, popular yet.
Really? They had that?
Yeah. Isn't that on that show?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah, it is, because at the end of that match, Austin, Michaels, and is it Foley?
Foley.
Yeah, come down.
Yeah.
And Michaels is, like, in great shape, and the other two are just in T-shirts.
Right. And Michaels is waddling for some weird reason.
Yeah. Well, he's got that weird duck leg thing going on. Like, he's landed too often on his, like, on his ass. Like,
is that what it is?
I don't know. I'm assuming. Like, what happened to his eye?
To his eye, yeah. So his legs are going out and his eyes are going in.
His upper body is imploding and his lower body is exploding. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, this fucking...
Well, speaking of him, I have him in another dream match. Yep. I have him in a couple of them, actually.
Yeah.
But we never got HBK and Guerrero.
Yeah, see, I wrote that one down, too, but I'm glad you brought it up, because I have a bunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in 04 or 05, once they had made Eddie Guerrero...
Yep.
Once he was a world champion, they totally could have done it, and even though they were on different brands... They had angle wrestling muscles, so at any point they could have had that match. We never got it, but that is definitely something we should have gotten.
Well, and especially once they de-emphasize Guerrero in 05.
Yes.
Because, like, he's kind of stuck doing nothing for a while. Right?
He's wrestling Rey Mysterio like 8 times, but like none of them matched up to WCW matches.
So wait, Mysterio's kid who's on Raw now, that's Dominic, right?
Yeah.
That's Eddie Guerrero's son?
Yes, that is Eddie Guerrero's son. We don't mention that.
Why isn't that mentioned anymore? You think with how much they love mentioning Eddie Guerrero, like that's his poppy.
Maybe he'll break out his three amigo suplexes and reveal himself.
Listen, if you're a Hispanic wrestler in the WWE, you have to at least do the frog splash or the three suplexes.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, I think that would have been a great match. I mean, I don't know where in that year I would have put it, because I love the I love the Michaels and the Angle feud, and then I love the Michaels and the Hogan stuff. But I guess somewhere in the fall, I mean, hopefully before Guerrero passes, in that time frame there, you could have done it. You probably could have done it in late 04.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Probably because at that point, I remember at Armageddon that year, it was like Booker T, Guerrero, Undertaker, all chasing JBL. So you really should have done – I think you could have done something there.
Yeah, that would have been really good because, again, after he lost the title, Guerrero, he's kind of in limbo for a while. And Michaels was in limbo too. I think he was hurt during that era too because he worked that Taboo Tuesday match with
Taboo Tuesday.
Are you going to have Gene Snitsky on any of your dream matches?
He's in all of them.
If we could do any era, it'd be Gene Snitsky versus Braun Strowman. Snitsky.
I thought it'd be Snitsky against Kaniski, but yes.
Okay. Oh, or Snitsky against Heidenreich. That's like the anti-dream match.
Yeah.
That could have worked there in late 04. Late 04 might actually be the best time for it because in 05, Guerrero was good, but you can see he's kind of like winding down.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I definitely like SummerSlam 04, which was a terrible show. I mean, looking back on it, I would take that over many of the stuff that we get these days. But you could have done something there because the angle Guerrero, I remember, living up to what it could have been. And I don't know what Michaels was doing. Was he out hurt or something? Or because he was gone for a bit?
I don't know. I don't know what he was doing. Okay. I actually don't mind that show, that one. I don't think anything's super high end. I don't think anything's super high end, but I don't think anything's really low end.
Okay.
Except for maybe Hunter burying the
Eugene and JBL and The Undertaker stinking it up.
Do you remember Eugene's favorite wrestler, who it was? In the storyline?
The Rock?
Nope, he had a favorite wrestler. Do you don't remember who it is?
Oh. Wait.
The mentally challenged guy. Do you remember who his favorite wrestler was?
Was it Doink?
It's Triple H. Yeah. So, wow. Yeah. So look, I'm gonna stick around this era then for you for my next one. And okay. I think you do it at Royal Rumble 04. So on the undercard or in that area. And it also involves Shawn Michaels. Okay? I think it ties in nicely. Okay. We're gonna do Shawn Michaels against Brock Lesnar.
Oh yeah.
Because I think that's kind of the perfect opponent for Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
I don't think I could think of anyone who would be better in a match against Brock Lesnar than Shawn in this era. Because yeah. Brock's going to do all his Brock stuff, right? And Shawn's going to make you believe that he can beat him.
Yeah.
And then he's going to lose, which is fine. And Lesnar,
which is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Lesnar fought Hardcore Holly at that pay-per-view instead. And Michaels was in a snooze fest with Triple H. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that's a really interesting match we never got. You can't do it in 12 because Michaels is gone by then. And I don't want – although that's the Brock Lesnar I'd rather see fight Shawn Michaels, to be honest. Like
Yes.
But you can't have that one. So, but you know what? Super athletic 03, 04 Brock Lesnar would be really interesting with him too because he'd hit him with all kinds of weird moves. He wouldn't blow up at all. Like that guy was a freak of nature then. So I think this could produce – at least on par with Guerrero and Michaels in terms of quality.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, maybe even better just because of that chemistry where Michaels always does his best, I find, with bigger opponents.
Yeah.
And Lesnar always does his best with smaller opponents.
It would be like a better version of Lesnar and Punk.
Probably. Ooh, yeah.
and a better version of Michaels and Undertaker, maybe.
Maybe, but they had that weird chemistry.
They did have the weird chemistry. But yeah, if these guys got hooked it up over the years, they could develop a chemistry, I think, too.
Yeah, like you could have done it at any time in 03 also. It probably would have been good. But I want to wait as long as possible so Lesnar has as much experience.
Yeah.
Like, not that he wasn't good, because he was good right away. He's got great matches in 02, right? Like, he's good right away. But yeah, I just think he could really kill it with Michaels.
I mean, had Lesnar stuck around by 05, he would have been going in the main event with Triple H, 21.
Right.
And then after that, any time there in 05, 06, he'll get Michaels.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Yeah. If he stays there, he probably gets Batista also.
Definitely.
Yep. We lost a lot with him leaving.
We really did.
Have we talked about him leaving on this show?
No, we haven't.
So the whole landscape looks completely different today if he doesn't leave, right? Like, Vince probably
is
doesn't...
Is that what...
Well, that's my hypothesis with it, is that Vince probably doesn't get as skittish about pushing guys big. We probably get less Cena, like, or at the very least, we have, like, a counterpoint to Cena. So maybe he's not as hated. He's not as pushed as hard.
Yeah.
We get, like, Lesnar and Orton in that span, too. Maybe that helps Orton. Lesnar, Batista... There's never a point where, like, Triple H needs to come back and be champion for a year, although he might anyway, but...
Right. Yeah, definitely.
You get Lesnar-Lashley during that time, which, I mean, probably isn't the biggest... Neither one of us talked about it, so it's probably not a cool dream match, but it's still interesting enough.
Well, they would have built Lashley better, because Vince wouldn't have been burnt.
Right. And then...
You would have gotten... go ahead.
I was just saying, then who knows how they build Cena differently, and then Punk differently, and then even Bryan differently, and Reigns differently, because they're worried about the guy getting big and leaving.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that really did change the landscape. And also, like, how does Triple H put over Lesnar at 21? Is he still, you know, the politician that kind of puts over Batista? Or does he, you know, put him over?
You know, people are really adamant that, like, Triple H really put over Batista, but I don't believe it.
He didn't. He let him beat him, but there's a difference between losing and putting someone over.
And we'll talk about that when we do our Triple H episode.
We will. We definitely will. Well, I have another HBK one for you then.
Nice. Where are you going?
I'm going anywhere in 02 to 04, anywhere in there, against The Rock.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been nice.
It would have. Yeah. I guess, do you do it? I mean, he comes, you know, Michaels comes back at SummerSlam and The Rock is not around, but then The Rock comes back in 03. So maybe instead of the Goldberg match, which ruined Goldberg.
No. Come on.
Or WrestleMania 20, but then you don't get that triple threat match in the main event.
Yeah, then you just have Benoit fighting Triple H, which probably wouldn't have been as good. I think I think your best bet is to do it in 02. If you can keep, I'm going to say if you can keep Rock around, but like,
yeah,
he's not there.
Because his last match was that triple threat match, and that, oh, well, it's the same card, right? SummerSlam, it's Rock's last match is Michael's first.
Yeah, and you don't want to do it there. That wouldn't make sense. I was going to say if Rock was around like Survivor Series, like that, that's where you do it.
Yeah.
That's so, yeah, where you do it. It's, you know where you could do it? At No Way Out in Montreal.
In Montreal?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been way better than what we got.
Than the shitty Rock Hogan match? Yeah. Michael's not even on the card? Yes, it would have been way better.
Yeah, it would have. But, I mean, you could have done it at WrestleMania 19. I know we love that card, but you still could have done it.
Well, you wouldn't hurt the card that much. Like, you just lose the Austin match. And, like, because you'd lose the Jericho-Michaels match. But I think this would probably be better.
I think so, too.
Or at the very least, bigger.
It's another main event on a stacked show.
Yeah. And, like,
You're going to get the better feud in 08 between Jericho and Michaels anyway.
Yeah. And the problem is you don't want to pair Jericho and Austin up.
No.
Like, they're just not – they're fine, don't get me wrong, but they just never really clicked. So you'd have to figure out what to do with them, but – fuck it. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to leave Austin off the card, but.
Yeah. But you do have a couple other pay-per-views, so.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. But yeah, so that'd be great. I would love to see that. I would love to see Rock like have the chip on his shoulder, maybe. Like you were an asshole when I was coming up. You tried, you know, like along those lines, and maybe Michaels has changed, and but then there's that still like that slight heelish side that comes out.
Yeah.
Like Michael.
Well, you don't have Triple H as champion going into 2004, going into 2020. You just have a different main event. And then you can have Rock and then you just mix and match with that Foley and Evolution thing. You just figure out something else to do.
Right. Yeah.
Like Benoit and Foley.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Sorry?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see all of that. All of that. Okay, I think we skipped one that I think might be interesting. I don't know how much of a dream match it is, and it was kind of at the bottom of my list, but it would have to happen in 06, okay? Like right towards the summer of 06, I guess. I don't want to get too far back into the present, but I think it'd be really fun to see Kurt Angle fight CM Punk.
Oh, that would have been good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because Punk is not on the main roster yet, but he's on TV. He's in ECW in 06. And I think that, like, it's right before Angle leaves. I don't want to see it in like 2012 or whatever, because Angle's kind of done. But I think that would be something that, number one, they could put over Punk huge, like massively by having him beat Angle. But not but even if he were to lose against Angle, like it never hurts any. I've never seen anyone hurt by losing to Kurt Angle.
Right. Like, and Angle's at his best at this point.
Oh yeah, he's so good. That's another big departure that like. The whole landscape is different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Because he was – I watched him on ECW TV actually from that summer. I don't know how I came across it. It might have been on YouTube or something. He's just destroying Justin Credible.
Yeah.
And it's with a certain edge and a violence to it that was – I'd completely forgotten that he had at that time.
How long has it been since you've seen the match with Randy Orton from One Night Stand 06?
It's been a while.
Watch that match. Like, I watched it not like when I was doing my rewatch project, and I loved it. Like, because he has that edge and that violence.
Ah, okay.
Like, they were promoting him, and Orton is actually a really good opponent for him in that, because, like, they were promoting him as, like, the wrestling machine of ECW. And in that match, he's basically fighting the WWF's Golden Boy.
Right.
And so the visceral reactions of the crowd are all there, too, and... It's great.
And that's when he has like – he is black. His outfit is blue, like navy blue, gold, and black.
Yeah.
And he has that darkness and that edge to his character, which I loved.
Yeah. He just looked like he was going to hurt you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think –
Yeah, I definitely
– That might be an interesting – sorry to go back in time. Let's go further back in time with you to your next one.
Okay, sure. So I go back a couple of years before to 2002. Mm-hmm. One-on-one, we never got it. Razor Ramon, Scott Hall versus The Rock.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Like a very similar style, size, look.
It would
have been fun to see.
Very character-driven.
Yes.
And you know what's funny? We look at Hall, like, kind of through the lens of his 2002 WWE run. But, we're watching the TNA pay-per-views that start in June of that year, and he's basically the number one face in the company when TNA starts, and he looks great. He's in shape. He's moving well. Like he's on point. So it's like he had the potential in him to do something great in 02. Just curious if maybe like the WWF atmosphere was not perfect for him during that period.
Yeah, well, you know, them all going crazy on that flight. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. It would have been good. It would have been, maybe if they didn't do it at that WrestleMania, they could have done – if he stuck around, they could have done it like at SummerSlam, or they could have done it at the next WrestleMania.
Yeah. Again, you're taking away that Austin match. I'm just thinking about the matches you lose when you do it.
I'm okay with losing that Austin match at the next WrestleMania, because I just feel like they're kind of put together because there was nothing else for each other to do.
Yeah, I agree, but it ends up being a great match.
It does. It's a great match. They always had great chemistry.
Yeah.
So, but I'm okay with seeing something I'd never seen.
I'm okay with that, too. That makes perfect sense to me.
Because we kind of got it the week before. I didn't want to cheat with that one because we got a five-man tag the week before.
It's not the same.
With Rock and Austin against – yeah, it's not the same. Yeah, we didn't get the one – and just when they interacted for those 2 seconds at, No Way Out when he called him Chico, I was like, oh, this is would be good.
Razor Ramon. It's making fun of his voice.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just because you're so used to seeing Scott Hall make fun of everybody. Yeah. And now you have The Rock making fun of him. I was like, oh, this is different.
Well, and then he does it to Nash, too. Yeah. The horn.
Yeah.
He just destroys him.
He does. He really does. He really does. And it's not like we're looking at, two guys that are – that was a very good horn. he does a – because we're looking at, these two NWO guys that are, the big badasses. And then they're, they're marketed when they're coming in. They're being pushed as, oh, these are the bad, bad, bad guys. Yeah. And they come in and then, The Rock, just one-ups them right away. So I liked – I don't know. I was like, ooh, what's their reaction to that? That's cool. That's a different – you're seeing Scott Hall being pushed in a position and Kevin Nash being pushed in a position that they hadn't been pushed in before.
And it also felt like, okay, these guys were really cool in WCW, but it just kind of showed how much better Rock was. debatable in ring or whatever, but definitely as a character and as a cool character.
Yes. And you're watching okay, why did WWF win? Why did WWF really win and WCW didn't? Let's see it. In that moment, that was the closest I felt to that.
Right in his face.
That moment right there. That sound effect right there. Yeah.
And then I think Hogan's even kowtowing to him a bit, but he doesn't savage Hogan the way he savages the other two.
No.
You could tell there's a bit of respect there.
Yeah, Hogan has no body fat, by the way, in that run in 02. His face is completely lean. If you look at his face, there's nothing there. It's just perfect. He has no body fat on him. It looks incredible when he comes back.
He came in with something to prove.
He definitely did.
And that 02 run is actually really good. You did the stupidity with him hitting Rock with the truck, but that WrestleMania match is all time great. It's so good.
Yeah.
His match with Angle is great, where he taps out. He puts over Lesnar. Then he comes back the next year and has a completely overachieving match with Vince. A little underrated run. I could entertain the argument that that is potentially his best in ring run of his career.
Hmm.
He doesn't have.
He has great opponents, though. Let's just put it.
Yes. But he often had great opponents, though.
Really, at the caliber of The Rock and Angle?
No, probably not that caliber. I'm thinking Orndorff and Piper, but Piper's different. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Those are character opponents. They're great characters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got Lesnar and Angle and The Rock.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. Vince. He came in. You can see he was in shape. He looked good. You knew he was preparing for that run for a good year.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked great. He was over.
Yeah.
Treated like a hero.
We do forget that he was – we do forget he was massively cheered in Detroit the week before WrestleMania when he pinned The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they came to Canada where, we never cared about WCW. And so it's he never left,
Yeah, exactly.
And comes to Montreal and we give him a 20-minute standing ovation or however long it was.
I just rewatched that recently. Yeah, it was something else.
He can't even talk.
Yeah.
He can't even speak because we're just screaming. Were you there that night?
I wasn't. I was not.
It was a really special moment. Remember I bought a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt early in the night, and then that moment happened. I'm like, fuck it, I'm buying a Hogan shirt. I want to remember this.
Yeah.
Look, I have nothing before 96, 97. Do you have anything before that?
I do too.
Let's hit it. Let's hear it.
I have two. One you'll love.
And one I'll hate?
No, the other one you'll like. one you'll love, the other one you'll like.
Okay.
But the one you'll love is from 91, 92.
No, wait.
Undertaker versus.
Hold on. 91, 92?
Yeah.
I said I have nothing. I'm at 97.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking, we're doing this backwards.
We're doing it backwards, yeah.
Which was my idea to begin with. But no, I don't have anything. I don't have anything in that era.
So let me hit you with a 96-97 one. that I think we may have talked about years ago, but I think it'd still be amazing. And that is Bret the Hitman Hart against Mankind.
In a
proper pay-per-view match. Not a two-minute thing on Raw or whatever. An actual proper pay-per-view match. Now, I understand this one also kind of has the potential to go south. Because, like, I find Bret kind of weird with certain opponents. So you never know what the chemistry might be. But I feel
What do you mean weird with, like, certain ones he doesn't put out for?
Not that he doesn't put out. I feel there's certain opponents, like, he... Like, look, Michaels and Mankind had that match, and it was incredible, right?
Yeah.
And there's guys that Michaels connects with that I find Bret just doesn't connect with the same way.
Well, Triple H is another one.
Yes.
They never connected, Bret and Hunter.
Yeah. They had kind of minimal matches, but I don't consider Triple H a dream match for anything.
No.
So yeah, I just think that'd be a fun match. I know Mankind would bust his ass for Bret. Like you know.
And Bret did really respect. He did really respect Mick Foley. So
yeah. So it's like any time in that like 96 to 97, I think they could probably go and tear it down. Like you're probably way better off with Bret fighting Mankind than the Patriot.
Exactly. Yes. You could do that then, or you could do it in July.
Yeah.
June, July. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I'd like it in some sort of, you know, I quit type stipulation again, like with Austin. So it's one of those matches. It's more like it leans towards a McFoley match.
Yeah.
So that Bret has to adapt to a McFoley more style.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he.
Not 100%. We're not talking barbed wire and thumbtacks. Just, you know. As opposed to a Bret, you know, armbar and wrist locks, I'd rather it veer over more towards Foley.
You want it looking like the Austin Hart WrestleMania match.
Yes.
Like, but Hart was never as good as Michaels at those Chaos matches.
No, he never was.
Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, he was good at other things, right?
Yeah.
What you got?
Okay, so I have from late 91, early 92, okay, Undertaker versus Randy Savage.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So are you going with, like, Randy Savage as the champion?
No, I'm going with – it's during the Jake feud.
Mm.
Yeah. You could have done it on the Saturday Night's main event.
Okay.
You know, instead of Jake. Because he had beaten Jake solidly, you know. But, yeah. I mean, it's fine. Or you could have done it at the Royal Rumble or I don't know where. I mean, I like the Royal Rumble the way it was. Like, I wouldn't change it. But, yeah, I mean, you could have done it anywhere in that run. Or, yeah, again, you could have done it especially for the championship. You could have definitely done that in June of that year or something like that. Have a – you know, the Saturday Night's main event, you could have, you know, pushed that one.
Well, allow me to throw – let me throw something at you and we'll talk about both because I think they'll – so let's keep – let's have Undertaker – challenge for the title at the SummerSlam 92.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's have on the other, another match on the card of the Ultimate Warrior against the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's fine.
Because Warrior, I mean, my thoughts on Warrior are pretty clear. Like, he rarely shits the bed on pay per view. Like, it's almost always good to great. And Flair is Flair. So I feel like this is kind of a sneaky match that could have been really great, like if they kind of worked together and fuck, SummerSlam 92 would be so much better with the card we just talked about.
Yeah, it actually would have, because now you have three top matches instead of two.
Yeah, you don't get that bullshit Undertaker Kamala stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, and yeah, I think Flair and Warrior really could really do something interesting, especially with Perfect on the outside. And like, I like the Warrior Savage match we got. I think it's really good, but this just has a different dynamic to it, which could be interesting.
And we already had our Warrior Savage, so we're fine. It's not we're missing out just because you don't have that second match.
No, you've had Warrior Savage. You've had Flair Savage.
Yeah.
Do the thing here.
Yeah. You know, it gives Savage a new opponent. Yeah. And then you could play off of the Jake stuff and whatever.
Yeah. It's too bad Jake's not there anymore, but it's like... And then if you want to do the – you probably have to do a bullshit finish in Savage Undertaker, but it's fine because it's Savage Undertaker.
Because you did two bullshit finishes anyway.
Yeah.
Instead.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So instead we get one.
Yeah. We get one. Yeah. But it's novel. We haven't seen it before.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think they had done some house shows or whatever in late 91, but I wasn't counting those just because if I think they had done it, that just shows you how not important they were.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That'd be a really good card.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to change really anything else.
Mm.
Maybe you get the Natural Disasters off the fucking card and Ted DiBiase off the card, but like... yeah, for it to be better.
So what do you have? You have LOD against the Legion of Sissies?
Maybe. Were they available, the Legion of Sissies?
Well, the Legion of, but the feud was the Beverly Brothers calling them the Legion of Sissies.
But the problem was neither of them were champions for some fucking absurd reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was the Beverlys against the Natural Disasters.
Right. And why did LOD fight Money Inc.? Was that ever explained?
I think Money Inc. maybe said something about the puppet, and then they took very heavy offense to that.
Somebody went off on the puppet. I can't remember who it was, but somebody in the business went off on the puppet recently, and I can't remember what it was. But look, it really, like, the LOD really and like legit hated that.
Well, it's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, he's at ringside doing a ventriloquist act. They're already in paint and spikes, and we don't need any more gimmicks. They ride motorcycles. We need a puppet. Like, you know what's really going to put them over, Powell, is the puppet. The puppet is going to do it. Like,
no, it's going to be a tough man named Puppet. Rocco.
I remember at, like, WrestleMania 8. So WrestleMania 8, LOD doesn't wrestle, right? They come out and do an interview. And they introduce Paul Ellering as their manager there, right? And like,
right.
And he's going off like, I have returned, and like the crowd doesn't know who he is, right? But Bobby Heenan is like losing his mind and being like, he's like, oh, do you know who this man is? This is bad for everyone. Like, he's really selling it like, oh no, the LOD is like, they're gonna start tearing up the division because Ellering's back, and all Ellering does is introduce this puppet.
Yep,
that's his entire contribution to their team in 1992.
Ugh. They were done in 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah, so you do LOD Beverly's with no puppet. I guess you keep Michaels...
Which was the feud.
Yeah, which was the feud. I guess you keep Michaels Martel. That's fine.
I guess you have to, just because you're doing... Yeah. I guess you have to do that. Just because, I mean, they've just been cleaned out talent-wise. There's really not much left by that point.
Yeah, like, I'd almost be like, just, like, make everything else longer and cut people, I think would improve that show.
Oh, yeah, no Repo Man crush, yeah.
No Nails and Virgil.
Right.
Is Tatanka on that show?
Yeah, he does something with Papa Shango, I think.
Right, but it's not on the pay-per-view.
That's right. They had, like, 5 matches, and they had, like, Duggan and the Bushwhackers against the Mountie and the Nasty Boys, too.
Well, that sounds like it was shit.
Yeah, it was a long card of crap. That really, yeah.
Yeah, because as soon as
that must have been tough.
As soon as you pair Brett off with Bulldog, like, that's, yeah.
Well, the original card was Brett and Michaels and Savage and Flair in a rematch.
That's right.
And that wasn't moving anything. That wasn't moving seats at all. And they were in Europe a lot that year. Like, Europe was their main crowd. After WrestleMania, they're pretty much in Europe the entire time.
Right. Well, they love Brett in Europe.
They did.
Yeah, I love my son in Europe.
Yeah, they definitely did. Have you seen a Swedish girl?
Hey, name is Svetlana.
Svetlana and Tinkerbell.
My Tigerbell. I think we can make 92 better, and we already love 92, so.
Yeah.
I have one from kind of early late 90, early 91.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Legion of Doom, no goddamn excuse why they didn't fight Demolition on pay-per-view.
There's none. There's no excuse. There is zero excuse.
Yeah, like, it makes no sense. Like, and it, no. I don't think the match would be anything special, but it would have meant something.
Yeah, and they even had, like, a Saturday night's main event with Warrior against all three, but it was Warrior that got the pin on Smash.
Right.
And then they did the Survivor Series, but neither one factored into any finish.
No. One-on-one. That's what should have happened at WrestleMania 7.
Yeah.
Instead, like, LOD destroys Power and Glory, fine, But Demolition are wrestling Japanese guys.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see LOD in Power and Glory. I mean, there was no point for that.
I don't want to see Tenryu and Fred Kitao, or whatever they called him.
Mike Bukkake. Yeah, exactly.
Fucking Mike Bukkake was the worst.
Yeah, he was. All over the place, that guy. Anyway, that's – I don't understand why they never did that. I don't understand.
And it's not like it's a main – like, all right, like you want to hear the argument that like they didn't do Hogan, Flair because it didn't sell well on the house shows.
Is that really the reason?
That's what they say. Whatever. Let's just take it as a given that that's what it is. How do you apply that logic to this?
Like,
there's no conceivable reason not to do it, unless maybe they hated each other and they were actually going to murder each other in the ring.
I was listening to a shoot interview from Demolition, and the reason that Bill Eadie left was they were phasing him out to begin with, as we know, but they were doing it so that they wanted to give him a backstage role, a front office role.
Right.
And he was cool with that at first. He wanted to do that. He was fine with it. And then he said it changed so many times at first, which sounded like a promising idea. They kept coming back with a different idea and a different idea and a different, but it was like less money and less. He goes, by the end of it, it was basically just a part-time position.
Right.
And so he was like, no, I can go to Japan and work there instead. And so he left. So I think that's the reason we never got it. Maybe he finished out his dates, you know, maybe that decision happened in, I don't know, early October. So that's why we never got it. But even then, you do it with Crush and Smash. Just finish the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it makes no sense.
No.
It's upsetting.
No. Yeah. Well, I have another Demolition dream match that we could have gotten.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. In 1988, when the Demos were heels, we could have gotten the Demos against the Mega Powers.
Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah, you main event a Saturday Night's main event with it.
I wonder if that would have hurt the Demos. But I love the idea. Yeah, just because, like, they were just these destroyers. That one's awesome.
Yeah. I thought that would be a cool one.
I mean, look, there's also a ton in there that we got kind of every now and then, but, like, there's a ton with the Rockers, right? Like we got.
Oh, yeah. I think they were never used properly.
We'd always get them on Saturday Night's main event, but it would always be too short. And, but I love the idea of Demos and Mega Powers. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
And I would like it even more. You could make that match. I mean, you could conceivably use that match to further the storyline. The Mega Powers could take a loss. Like, that might be.
Yeah, that could be interesting. Yeah. Because it's for the tag titles, and it's like, can the Mega Powers take the tag titles on top of Savage having the world title? Yeah.
Yeah, and then Demolition beats them, because at that point, they would treat a team together as, like, as dangerous as one person.
Yeah.
Like, whereas now, like, Roman Reigns could destroy the whole tag division, even if they had a tank with them. Like, you know.
Or CM Punk going through the Shield.
Oh, God, so dumb. Did you ever hear his story about that? Yeah. Where he's like, yeah, they want me to.
No.
Oh, it's hilarious, because they're like, look, in the match, we want you to make Roman look strong. and his reply was, well, why don't they go over then?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you're going to go over, but you got to make Roman look good. And then every time someone talked to him was like, make Roman look good. Make Roman look good. So as early as there, like, it was a thing.
Did he pin all three of them?
I don't remember. What was
it? It was one. No, it was that December, whatever it was, named that year. Yeah. And did they at least do a disqualification with one of them?
Yeah, because at Survivor Series, he teamed with Brian, right?
Did he?
Yeah, against the Wyatt family, and they beat the Wyatt family. Oh, yeah, it's terrible. Okay. It's TLC. Yeah, it's TLC does a handicap match. CM Punk defeated the Shield 3-on-1 handicap match.
It was probably. How does that work?
Nobody.
Because I remember watching it.
Yeah, nobody beat them for like a year, and then suddenly he's beating them on his own. This was a bad show. Holy shit. This is the Randy Orton John Cena TLC match where like everyone's turning on it.
Okay.
There's 2 3-on-1 handicap matches on this show.
Brian, Brian wrestles the Wyatts, I think.
Yeah. And Punk, at least Brian loses.
Yeah.
So dumb. So I kind of have an outside the box one from it'll be in 1990. This is a weird one. Okay, you'd have to turn one of them, but I think it's something we'd never seen before, and I think it'd be cool. It would be Hulk Hogan fending off a devastated and hurt, because he recently lost someone, Dusty Rhodes.
Hulk Hogan turns on Dusty Rhodes?
No, Dusty turns heel and fights Hulk Hogan.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, okay.
Because Dusty just went through the whole loss of Sapphire and
right. My sweet Sapphire.
Does anybody know where she is?
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just two really big names. I can't imagine another scenario in which they could kind of cross paths and fight. So I think this one would be a really cool one.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Was Dusty ever a heel in NWA?
Only when he joined the NWO, I think.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And it's weird because you get some other weird heels, like the Road Warriors are heels at points, and on Dusty, like they try to take his eye, but bring it back full circle. They didn't try to pull it out of his head, but they tried to stab him with a spike. He was never a heel during that period because he's the revelation of watching that old stuff. Like how crazy over he is. Like I get why they pushed him. Makes sense. It's the most over guy by a landslide.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think he's quite good too. He might be a better in ring worker than Hogan.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to say. Hogan, I think Hogan's quite good, but no. Yeah, so Dusty Hogan, I think that'd be cool. You'd never get a chance to see it again, and two of the biggest names of all time.
Yep, do that on a Saturday Night's Main Event or a Survivor Series 90.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that. That's all I have. I have one, but I don't follow it closely enough, but it's recent. It's a recent one that we could have gotten. Cesaro versus Ciampa?
Oh, that'd be interesting. I guess my issue with that one is that, like, I think it'd be a great match, but I feel like the size difference between the two would Ciampa looks like a tough guy in NXT, but I feel as soon as he was on the main roster, he was made to look lesser.
Because of the size. He's small.
Just because of the size. But, yes, I think that'd be a really interesting matchup.
Right. Because he's a small guy who fights like a heavyweight, I guess.
Yeah, he's like a better Jeff Jarrett, like a way better Jeff Jarrett.
Right, right, right.
But I'm sure
he was the epitome of a small guy who wrestled like a heavyweight.
Which is why I think he had the career he did have, as opposed to a better career. Not that Jarrett's career was bad by any means, but you know,
he overreached. Yeah.
Yeah, he should have never been world champion.
5 times, no.
No, 1 time, no.
Yeah. Yeah,
I found this a very hard exercise to do with the new guys because they burn through all these matches.
Yep, indeed.
Yeah, like maybe Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles would have been a choice a few years ago.
Yeah,
and now
and we saw like a couple of them, you know, happen since the last time we made this list. Like we actually got Undertaker Cena, but did we?
Sort of.
And then we got Undertaker Goldberg, but we'd rather that we didn't.
Yeah. There's also the ones that like they did fight but never with anything of substance. So when I was thinking about that, I just couldn't put on the list because I was like, oh, they did fight. It would be like Michaels and the 1-2-3 Kid. Like to see them have like a nice extended, like almost like when Brett was defending the title just with the Kid instead.
Right. Yeah, because the Kid wasn't made yet, and Michaels wasn't really made yet. Michaels was up and coming, you know, as the upper mid card, and the Kid was in his first 6 months, so it wasn't. Yeah, had Waltman stayed around and not gone to WCW, he probably would have been he probably would have challenged for the title.
Yeah, and another one we didn't talk about that I think is kind of a shoe-in for this kind of thing, but it's in '93, Brett and Savage.
Definitely. Yeah, they did one match in Japan in 94, I think.
Right. Oh, they did. Oh, yeah, they did.
They did, but it doesn't. I don't count that. And yeah, and they did wrestle in 89, but we don't get that as a dream match.
Yeah, but it's also not the same, right? Like, you need Brett to be a main event guy for that to really feel like a dream match.
Well, then I would have included, okay, if that's were the case, then I would have included Savage and HBK in 93.
And another one.
Or 94.
Right. Another one I thought of, too, that we got on Raw once was Michaels and Goldberg.
That's right. We did get that only on one Raw. Yeah.
What a waste.
It was a waste. And it's funny because they powered through a lot of those matches in that Elimination Chamber. They just had Goldberg just go through a lot of people that night.
Right. Yeah, which was awesome.
And then they never actually did the matches. It was a great moment, but they never – yeah.
Well, it's a great moment negated by the end of the match.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
And it's funny. We didn't mention – we mentioned the big Hogan-Austin one. We didn't mention the other big Hogan one. Flair.
The other big Hogan.
Flair.
Yeah.
Like, I know we got
although it. They did it a lot, but they never did it the way it should have been done.
Yeah. Well, and then WCW does it right away and, like, busts their buy rate record or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the WWF should have done that, and there's no question. And they did it in 02 on a Raw.
Did they?
Yeah, in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of, like, what would be a good Vince one they never did, but I couldn't think of any.
It's feuded with a lot of people.
I know. Did he ever fight The Rock?
Yeah. Like in 2000.
Like on Raw, right? He was in that. He was in that six man. They were in that six man together.
Yeah, he pins them. And did they do a match, a one on one? I don't remember. They probably did.
Vince's last match against Punk, right? Oh no, doesn't he fight Reigns? Or does Reigns just attack
him? He fights Reigns?
It's around that time. It's in 2015.
I think Vince is the referee. Okay. He's the referee, I think, for Sheamus. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. He does fight Punk on Raw.
That's in 2012, I think.
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's his last match, I hope.
How much longer?
I just hated seeing Punk have to sell for him and, like, running away from him.
And Punk was the champion, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. CM Punk, baby. All right. Well, listen, guys, if you like this episode, please feel free to let us know. Hit us up. Subscribe to the North South Connection Podcast Network. Leave us a review. Write us hate mail. It's fine. Just be in touch. Share our stuff. We got lots of fun stuff going on. Mondays, this is the show that drops. Montreal to Memphis. We never say the title, but that's what the show is. Montreal to Memphis drops. It also runs in tandem with my show, The Year That Was. By the time this drops, you will have been up to 2003 in terms of the worst WWF pay-per-view years of all time. Tuesdays, TNA Never Dies with JT, Jenny, and myself. Runs in tandem with the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, Jacob Williams and his guests. Wednesday is Chad Campbell with the Fighting Spirit of 06, as well as Carolina Dreaming, where he's looking back at some pretty obscure NWA matches. Thursday, Wrestling Warzone, JT and Chad, and that runs in tandem with the ECW three-way dance with JT, John D'Amato, and Jenny. Saturday, No Holds Barred with JT and I, sometimes JT's Tripper Trove, and sometimes Jeff Learns Wrestling. Reg, anything you want to add to this Dream Match podcast?
It's been a dream match of a podcast.
I'm at Aaron D. George. If you want to hit me up, Reg, you're getting better. It's getting better, the ending.
Thank you. Yeah, I worked on that one.
I know. Goodbye.
From Montreal to Memphis.
Harley from France. Fuck.